I'll tell you, it's always a great day when people join the church. And I want to speak to you this morning on the subject of all in. And this is New Members Sunday. And I think whenever we take in new members, it's always a good time to talk to all members. And just kind of re-examine, rethink, and reevaluate. Every now and then, we need to reevaluate, where are we as a member of a church? And our commitment to, now listen, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to say that with me. The church of the
Lord Jesus Christ.
One more time. The church of the
Lord Jesus Christ.
Because I want you to understand that this church belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. What we do in this church is not a business like we have a business. We do the Father's business. This is important business. This is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's really not Pastor Jerry's church or Pastor Ricky's church or not even your church. There are some in churches who kind of feel like that this is my church and it's going to kind of go the way I want it to go. If not, I'm going to give a lot of trouble. But there'll be an accounting one day because it is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. He bought it with his own blood. And you ought to be proud that you are inducted into the church of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Now that's the invisible church, but I want you also to understand it's the physical, local church right here on Tillman Road and other places. We are serving who? The Lord Jesus Christ. And so this morning I want you to stand and let's go to the next slide as we go to Matthew chapter 25, verse 1 through 13. Matthew 25. Now we're going to take in members again later in the year and we're also going to have water baptism. And if you're interested in being a part, maybe you've attended for many years and you've never really got all in and joined the church, I really encourage you to join and put your name on the roll. Amen. Your name on the roll. I'm a member of the Westmoreland Pentecostal Holiness Church. Amen. Matthew chapter 25, verse 1 through 13. I'm going to read the parable of the 10 virgins. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were wise, and five were foolish. Say that with me. Five of them were wise, and five were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps, but took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Next slide. Verse 5. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go you out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." On the next slide, verse 9. But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there not be enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they missed their opportunity. And they that were ready went in with him into the marriage, and the door was shut. And afterwards, the other virgins said, "Lord, Lord, open to us." Next slide. But he answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, I know you not." Let's all read verse 13 together. Ready? Read. "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." Next slide. Father, thank you this morning for the excitement that we feel in the air. I believe we've come to a turning point. I believe that what we saw this morning is a deposit. Simon Shabinga spoke it over this assembly. Every seat full. And we'll not rest, God, until we have reached our designated harvest, those handfuls on purpose, the assignment of this place. And Lord, thank you for new members. Thank you for existing members. And Lord, help us today to be all in, and we'll give you the praise. Lord, may I decrease. May you increase. And may your word go forth today with power in the name of Jesus. And everybody said amen. And as you're being seated, tell somebody you're looking pretty And God bless you. Tell somebody you're looking pretty. Amen. We walk by faith and not by sight. Just remember that. And by the way, it's a great thing to have Bridget back this morning. She's gone through a lot. Amen. She has gone through a lot. And next Sunday, Darnell and I will be in Florida for General Conference. And the next Sunday, Pastor Jonathan and Regina will be staying in Florida after General Conference. So it's going to be a lot of moving back and forth. Our entire pastoral staff and Commander Phillip will all be traveling to General Conference. Pray for our safety. And thank the Lord for those iPhones and text. And so we're always as close as the phone call away. And just pray that God will move in a mighty way in this important gathering in Orlando, Florida. We're not there on vacation. We're not going to be out by the swimming pool. We're not going down to SeaWorld. We're going to be in business. We're going to be in prayer. We're going to be hearing preaching. It's going to be exhausting. This is not just a time for us to go. It's not vacation. You're not sending your pastoral staff on vacation. I did ask the pastor if one night I could go to SeaWorld, and I think he's agreed to do that. But God is good all the time. In our text this morning, we have read from the parable of the 10 virgins. Now, I don't have time to explain to you all the meaning of this great parable. We could do a sermon series on this prophetic parable. So what I want to do is just simplify and amplify, really, a theme of this parable. It speaks of 10 virgins, 5 wise, 5 foolish. 5 had enough oil in their lamps so that when the bridegroom came and called, they had enough to meet him. But there were 5 who did not have enough. They did not prepare. They did not pre-plan. They just kind of let things go as they were. And I really don't have time. I know this is a strange passage to some who are not familiar with the Word of God. And in the Jewish culture and in the Eastern culture, the bridegroom was the star of the wedding. In our culture, the bride is the star of the wedding. So if you can imagine, in their culture, the bridegroom was the star. And so the bride had to be ready and had to do certain things. But let me just suffice it to say, for the context of this day and this message, that what you could say it to simplify is this: 5 were somewhat in, but the other 5 were all in. 5 were sometimes in, but the other 5 were all in. 5 were halfway in. I mean, they had a lot going for them, but not so with the other 5, because they were all in. And folks, the message is clear. This is the midnight hour. Things are getting darker. The bridegroom is about to come, and he is the star of the show. And as we take in new members, and as we think about the challenges around us, as we think about the opportunities before us, I don't see Muslims as a challenge or as a problem. I see them as opportunities to reach them with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we think about eternity that is upon us, it is time, yea, past time, for each and every one of us to get all in. Say that with me. You see, it's time for every pastor to get all in. It's time for every preacher to get all in. I'm so tired of preachers who are getting on Facebook and saying one minute they're for this, and no, I got to clarify, I really didn't mean that. No, you need to say what you mean and mean what you say. And if you can't clarify it, then just don't say anything at all. It's time for every deacon to get all in. We've got deacons in this church. We've got deacons in every church. Board members who carry out the business of the church. And deacons, we love you. It's a sacrifice. It's a ministry. But I say to all deacons of all churches that are on Facebook or live stream or in this house, let's get all in, to every Sunday school teacher, to every Royal Ranger commander, to every girls' ministries director. I know we get weary in well-doing, but it is the midnight hour. Why don't you get a little more oil and get ready, because God is up to something. And before He comes, we just might have a revival, so that we might have a glorious Holy Ghost-filled church on fire for God. In fact, it's time for every member. Here's what I want us to do. If you are a member of Westmoreland Pentecostal Holiness Church, I want you to stand this morning. Members, please stand. And I want you as members to just say to God, raise your hand up to God and say, Heavenly Father, I'm a member of Westmoreland. You called me to this church, and by your grace, I'm going to step up and step in, and I'm going all in. Now give Him a hand of praise at Westmoreland. Hallelujah! All in! You may be seated this morning. Amen. You see, on the next slide, Pastor Jerry preached to us last Sunday. Eight things. He talked about eight things you should do, that every person should do. You should make Jesus your Lord and Savior. You should be water baptized by immersion. You should make a clean break from the pool of the world. You should join a local church. You should read your Bible every day. You should pray every day. Be a witness. Honor God with your money. You know what I believe Pastor Jerry was telling us last week that we need to do? We need to be. Are you all in this morning? Let me tell you something on the next slide. The gospel costs nothing, but it demands everything. The gospel is free, but it at the same time costs us everything, demands of us everything. It's really all or nothing. If Jesus is not Lord of all, He is not Lord at all. And it's time to pull out the stops. It's time to make no excuses. It's time to throw ourselves into the task at hand. It's time to reevaluate, refocus. Because Satan wants us to be asleep at this hour. He wants our oil to go down. He wants us to be half in, sometimes in. But I'll tell you, the need for your families and the need for our marriages, the need for our country, is not so much the Republicans and the Democrats and health care. I'll tell you, if we as the church members who stood up just like you stood up and all of the churches, well, get all in, brother. That's the answer right there. And we'll change Congress and not wait for Congress to change us. Now, we can't be like this fellow here. I heard about this multimillionaire in Texas. You know, people in Texas do different things over there. I love Texas. I got family in Texas. We went to Texas 4 years ago for General Conference. And I'll tell you, it was great. I wore my cowboy boots to some of those sessions. Amen. Hallelujah. That was a great general conference. I guess we'll go in shorts and flip-flops in Orlando. No, I'm just kidding. Amen. Some of those millennials might. Lord help them. But anyway, hundreds of guests were there at this prestigious event. You know, these Texas millionaires, they like to have parties. And he was an eccentric. And he had a swimming pool, but his swimming pool had a bunch of alligators in there. A bunch of gators in there. This crazy guy. You know, they're all out there with the boots on, the hats on. You know, they're all millionaires. And some, not everybody was millionaires. And so he said, he got up and got drinking a little bit. And he said, I'll tell you what. You see the swimming pool full of alligators? I'll give anybody here half of my wealth if you'll jump in one end of this long swimming pool and swim across to the other side with these alligators in there. I'll give you, if you got that kind of boldness, you deserve half of my money. And about that time, whoosh, splash. And this young man went through that swimming pool, buddy. He was like, what is that Olympic guy a few years ago? Phelps. Yeah, he was like, man, swimming, and those alligators were looking at him and making a move. And finally, just at the nick of time, praise God, he jumped on the other end of the swimming pool and just soaking wet. And everybody was shocked and at his bravery, and everybody was like, and so the millionaire who made the dare went over and said, son, I didn't know anybody would take me up on this. But I'm going to give you half of my money. You deserve it. Do you have anything to say? And the guy said, he wiped his face and said, yeah, I want to know who pushed me in. And I want to tell you, folks, we don't need to be people that we got to be pushed in. We need to just jump right on in to what God is doing at Westmoreland. All in. Somebody say, glory to God. I'm jumping right in the middle of all that God has for us. Amen, somebody. I'm going to give you the end right here. It's time we go all in and all out for the all in all. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, if you don't hold out on God, God won't hold out on you. My goodness, jump right in to the Holy Ghost. Jump right into ministry. Jump right into telling somebody about Jesus. Let's get all in. Let's get radical for God. I'm tired of the world jumping in. It's time for us to jump in and say we're going all the way with God. Would you give him a hand of praise here this morning? I'm all in. Are you all in? I tell you what, Brother Jerry, I was putting this sermon together and I was getting under conviction myself. I'm like, Ricky, are you all in at Westmoreland? Are you really? I know you're a pastor at Westmoreland, and I've been a pastor of other churches and I've thought of it, but I'm reexamining my life. I need to be all in. It doesn't matter if you're a pastor or if you're a church secretary. Amen. We need to be all in. Can you say amen? Why be all in? Let's go to the next slide. Number one, we should be all in because of the wickedness of the world. You heard me. We live in a wicked, wicked world. Debauchery and shame. I'm not saying this from a self-righteous attitude. I know that I'm like Paul, the chief of sinners. But I tell you, it is just so in your face sin. Where the vilest and the slush of the filth of human depravity is not just tolerated, it is now celebrated. I don't have to go into a lot of details. You know what I'm talking about. Alcoholism. I encourage you not to drink alcohol. Brother Ricky, can I have just one beer? Can we just have one glass of wine? Don't do it. Why? Because you want to be all in. And we don't want to do anything that will be a hindrance to someone else. Because if you drink one beer, your neighbor may see you drinking one and may drink 15. And by the way, yes, Jesus turned the water into wine. So is it okay to drink wine? Well, here's what I do. Fill up a glass of water. And if you really want to drink wine, say, Father, I'd like to drink wine. You turn the water into wine. If you'll do it again, I'll drink this wine. And I promise you, if he turns the water into wine, go ahead and drink it. But if he doesn't, leave it alone. Wine is a mocker and strong drink is raging. And whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. I am so tired of hearing about preachers. You tell me if we go to Orlando and I see any of our Pentecostal preachers drinking, I'm going to tell them. I'm going to write their name down and tell the bishop. And I'm going to follow up and say, did you talk to them and pray with them and give them a chance to repent? Because of all people, we are members of the church. We're preachers of the gospel. We don't want to put a picture on Facebook of us with martinis. I'm getting down to your business. I know what I'm talking about. You say, Brother Ricky, you don't love us. I love you so much because I know what alcohol can do. Well, Brother Ricky, I'm not going to get drunk. That's what they all say. It's time to go all in. We see alcoholism, the movies, the music. Man, music is explicit, vulgar. I was at Best Buy and they had CDs from an artist. And I'm sorry, I don't remember the artist's name. I'm sure some of you young people know who it is. But I just picked up the CD and on the front of it, it said explicit lyrics. Music sexual promiscuity. Oh, listen to me. We live in a day of sexual promiscuity and all of the deviance. And we live in a day of terrorism and abortion and drug addiction. Folks, there's wickedness in our world. There are people that have sold themselves out to drugs, to alcohol, and how bad that is. Do you know what drugs will do to your body? Do you know what alcohol does to your body? Do you know what all these things do to your mind? Bad movies and all of that. Look at the next slide. Ronald Reagan said this, and it applies so much. He said, if we ever forget that we're one nation under God, then we'll be a nation gone under. And folks, we have gone under. Listen, what is the result of this? Are y'all still listening to me out there? Say amen. Amen. What is the result of this? We've gone from having school prayer to now having school shootings. We used to have the Bible in schools. Now we have metal detectors and police cars. And then, if that weren't bad enough, and it breaks my heart, we have people who are promoting this in your face, out of the closet, changing legislation, challenging the rights of churches, and you must marry this, or you must bake a cake for that, or you must do that. We have no, and on top of that, you cannot put a nativity scene at the courthouse or at the fire department. You cannot say Pledge of Allegiance. Now in North Carolina, there was a city that they can no longer do prayer before the city council. No crosses in the public parks. And folks, we have people who are promoting this. Their life's goal is to make sure all of this bad stuff is free and legal, and all of the good people and good stuff is put down. In other words, on the other side, they are all in. Do you hear me? They are all about their radical, God-hating, America-destroying, soul-destroying, life-destroying. And you mean to tell me that while they're all in, we can't make it to church but once every other Christmas? What's wrong with that picture? My goodness, if there's ever a time, the midnight cry, the bridegroom is coming. It's not time, daddies, to say to your kids, well, y'all won't go to church today. No, it's time, daddies, to say, honey, get the kids up. We're on our way to church. Why? Because we're all in. Let me dance a little bit. I can't dance as fast as that 70-year-old pastor, but I got it in me. Amen. Any doubt that Jerry Nelson is all in. Amen. Amen. We know our pastor is all in. We need to be all in because of the wickedness of the world. Next slide. We need to be all in because of the lostness of souls. Dads and moms, you have children. Those children have souls. And 100 years from today, that child's soul will only be in one of two places. They will either be in the glories of heaven, along with you if you're saved and others who are saved, and we'll have life and peace and immortality and no more death, no more cancer, no more terrorism, Osama bin Laden's, no more of radical agenda. It'll be peace and glory forever and forever. Somebody say amen. Or your child's soul will be in another place. What is that other place? It's a place of burning. A place where the fire is not quenched. A place of unimaginable terror and horror that does not end. So parents, moms and dads, it is your job, not the kids, but your job, because they have a soul. You wouldn't want your kids to get sick. You'd rush them to the ER. You'd rush them to the emergency room. You wouldn't want your children to be bullied by some bully on the playground, would you? Not my parents. Not me if I have kids. I'm going to step in and be a Christian about it, but I'm going to stand my ground. I'll come upside your head if you mess with my kids, and then I'll pray for you and I'll forgive you after it's all settled. You know, we take care of business and ask questions later sometimes. But no more than you'd let your kid have a fever and not do something about it, should you let your child lay in bed on Sunday morning. Because you're putting their soul in danger. Because that might have been the Sunday morning they heard about Jesus. That might have been the Sunday morning they walked the aisle and said, "Daddy, I want to give my life to Jesus." My goodness, souls are lost. And we need, it's drawing late. It is past the time. We need to realize that people are dying and going to hell. My coworkers at Best Buy, listen, let me tell you something. Your neighbors, your friends, your family, your husband, your wife, your mother, your father, your children, your grandchildren, if they do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, they will die and live forever in a Christless grave in a place called hell. And I'm just sorry you're too busy to get involved. Brother Ricky, my life is busy. I just can't, you know, no, you got to understand it's time to get all in because we're about the business of winning souls. Amen. Thank God for my Sunday school teachers. I know they had busy lives too. We have got to win souls. We got to invite people to church. I talked to a man at Best Buy. Man, I'm all the time talking to people at Best Buy about, by the way, in case you don't know it, I work at Best Buy. It's on Raleigh Road. And I sell televisions. I'm a televangelist. So come and see me. Amen. Come and sit, really. But I'm telling you, I'm with these 20-year-olds, Brother Philip. And guess what, Pastor? Oh, I forgot about it. Pastor, let me tell you. One of my fellas there, glory to God. He says he's a Christian. And he never goes to church. And, you know, of course, he works on Sundays is what he tells me. And he does. He's at work today. And I'm like, well, do you ever tithe? And he's like, well, I give a little bit. And come to find out, he probably hadn't given a whole lot. Well, yesterday, Pastor, he put his arm around me. He's 28 years old, 29 years old. I'm 45. You know, he don't have to pay me. You know, I'm just working. He puts his arm around me and said, I know this is not as much as it should be, but please put that in the offering for tithes. And I'm like, well, that's a start. Amen. You know how brother, it took a year to get that $10 out of him. I'm telling you, I talked to him. I prayed with him. I'm not trying to make myself look like somebody. I'm just telling you, guys, people where you with your neighbor, people live right across the street. Go, just do something. People are lost. It's time to get all in. I know we have our feelings hurt and our back aches and we got doctor's appointments. And I know we get hurt. We're so inward focused that we're forgetting that people out there are going to hell. Their souls are lost. And we, listen, Jesus is good all the time. He's going to solve my problems. He's going to meet my needs. And I don't particularly want to be at Best Buy, but bless God, I'm there. And while I'm there, I'm just take and win a soul and treasure, put the 10 bucks in the offering, and I'll give you the name later. Somebody shout hallelujah. I set them all in. Go to the next slide. Jesus gave us the great commission. He said, if you're there, say amen. Amen. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Lo, I'm with you always. This is called what we call the Great Commission. Do you think it's just for Pastor Jerry and Pastor Jonathan and Pastor Ricky? He said, that's go ye. You. Turn around and tell somebody, you're talking about you. You got a great, go into all the world, go into Best Buy, go into DOT, go into BB&T, go into schools, you are a plant in the enemy's territory. You're a spy. You could say you're James Bond, but a sanctified version. Amen. Amen. This is not the great suggestion. This is the great commandment or the great commission. And we need to be all in, number one, because of the wickedness of the world, because of the lostness of souls. And number three, we need to be all in, next slide, because of the lateness of the hour. This parable is telling us that it's midnight. Folks, do you realize how close we are to the coming of Jesus Christ? I'm going to tell you what blew my mind the other day. I like to watch, there's this news program called Fox and Friends. It's the last hope on Fox News Channel. I'm telling the rest of them defected, except for Hannity. Hannity's still strong, but Fox and Friends, that's the morning show, and I DVR it, and buddy, they're solid. But it blew my mind the other morning because they had this thing where they can take your DNA and they can tell where you're from. And you just thought you was from Wilson County. And they draw your DNA and they realize you got English blood in you. You got French blood in you. You got Russian blood in you. You got Indian blood in you. I am kid you not. This is bona fide scientific proof. They can draw your DNA and they can trace your ancestry to all the way back and tell where you really, 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 really came from. And then you know it ain't just Wilson County or Bailey or Sims or Stantonsburg or Elm City. You say, Brother Ricky, what's so fascinating about that? Because in the Bible, it says that the temple of the Jews will be rebuilt. It says it's going to happen. How many of you know right now that temple's not rebuilt? Where the temple is a mosque there. But the Bible says in the last days, the temple's going to be rebuilt. Well, one of the things to operate the temple, you had to be from the tribe of Levi, or you had to be a Levite. And how in the world now, after 3,000 years, can people tell if they're from the tribe of Levi? So that was a big question. You know, how are we going to have Levites run this temple when nobody knows if they're from the tribe of Benjamin, they're from the tribe of Gad? Well, guess what? On Fox and Friends, I found out, Pastor, that if you're a Jew, you can have your DNA drawn and tell if you're from Levi, which means you're a candidate to work in that temple, which is going to be rebuilt. I'm just telling you, we are on the doorsteps of the bridegroom coming and the father saying, go you out to meet him. It's getting late. And if we're ever going to do it, we don't need to put it off and say, I'll get around to it or when I retire or this, that, or the other. I'm talking about right now, 2017. July, it is time to go all in. Give him another hand of praise here tonight. Amen. It's the lateness of the Jesus is about to come. We should be all in because of the wickedness of the world, the lostness of souls, the lateness of the hour. Now, I really want to get on point four because, next slide, the lukewarmness of the church. Listen to this. As I begin to come to a close. Five were wise, but five were... Five had their lamps burning, but five didn't. Five were half in, and five were... Now, I want you to understand that there is a part of the church that's called lukewarm. Now, lukewarm is a word we don't use anymore. Let me just ask you this. How many of you have been to Starbucks coffee before? Starbucks coffee. Let me see here. You pay $5 for that stuff? I want to see how much you put in the go offering. Amen. You love us, Brother Ricky? I sure do. Have you gone to McDonald's and you ordered coffee, and when they get that coffee, you put it, oh man, you're ready for that coffee, and you put it up your lips, and it's not hot. It's not even cold. It's lukewarm. So let me see. Go to the next slide. Jesus said to the angel of the church of Laodicea, write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful, the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that you were cold or hot. So then because you are, and you're neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Now, folks, in point one, I talked about the wickedness of the world. I talked about sexual promiscuity, alcoholism. I talked about legislators. I talked about radical people, people on a sinful lifestyle who are in your face. And I saw many of you are like, amen. That's right. Praise God. You're preaching it, brother. Yeah, amen to that. But you know what? I'm now going to talk about the church. Because it ain't all about abortion and drunkenness. Sometimes it's gossip. Sometimes there's not only the sin of commission, there's also the sin of omission. What do you mean by that? There's the sin of commission. In fact, I tell you what a little kid said. They said, what's the difference between a sin of commission, and a sin of omission? And a little boy raised his hand and said, well, the sins of omission is the sins you wanted to do and didn't get around to doing it. In other words, it's not that I do something wrong, but it's also that I fail to do something right. I may not have committed adultery, but if I didn't do what the Lord required of me, if I just failed to do it, for example, if I didn't take my children to church, did you know that's a sin in a sense? Think about it. You have a responsibility to raise children in the church. And so when you omit to do that, you need to find somewhere and say, Lord, forgive me. I've wronged you. You gave me a child. You entrusted that child to me so that that child would learn the scriptures and learn the word of God. And I neglected my duties. So that's called a sin of omission. So we're getting back to being what's called lukewarm. Are y'all still with me out there? Say amen. Are y'all still with me out there? Half-hearted, distracted, unduly bogged down with the cares of life, not focused on eternity, easily offended. The what's in it for me? We have a lot of people in churches today. What's in it for me? And I think the church should provide things for you. But didn't John Kennedy say, ask not what your country could do for you, but what? Boy, wouldn't we love to have that put on a welfare office every now and then to those who really don't need it? Not there are those who do need it. It's getting mighty uncomfortable. I wanted it to be just like that. I wanted it to be right uncomfortable, right about. I wanted people to look at their watch, kind of get tense, and say, where is he going with this? I tell you where I'm going. I'm going to keep going until you get hot and on fire for God. That is Pastor Jerry's job, Pastor Ricky's job, and Pastor Jonathan's job, is to make sure that Jesus doesn't look at you and say, you're lukewarm. We need to be hot and on fire for God and for the church. Can you say amen? Amen. I thought about this artist. He had some students, and he was teaching the students how to paint, and they were painting the sunset. And only had a few minutes to paint the sunset. And so several of the artists were painting the sunset and all of its brilliance, and they had to capture it right at a right opportune moment. So he went over to this student, and the student was doing well. And he went over to this other art student, and he was doing well. But he'd come across another student who really wasn't capturing the sunset, but was working on the barn in the back. You know, there was a barn back there. And he was meticulously working on the shingle. And he said to the art student, he tapped him on the shoulder. He said, what are you doing? He said, well, I'm trying to get the shingles on the barn right. He said, wait a minute. Do you see the sun out there? He said, yeah. He said, it's going down. And if you don't focus, you can get that later. But if you don't focus on the sun going down, you're going to miss your opportunity. And I'm afraid too many times we get caught up in little bitty teeny tiny things that really in the long haul are just nothing that bogs us down. Folks, the sun is going down. Midnight is coming. This is not a time to be lukewarm. Let us ever be more on fire. If you're 75, I pray that when I turn 75, I may not be as fast as I am now at 45. I may not be as sharp as I am. I'm planning to be because I'm going to drink a lot of carrot juice. But listen, I pray above everything that as I age and get older for God, and if I know my heart, you see, I got saved when I was 15 years old. I wasn't in a Christian home. I graduated from Southern Nash, and then I wanted to go to Holmes Bible College, and it didn't work out, so I went to another college. It was called East Carolina University. And folks, in those days, East Carolina University had a reputation of being called the party school. Yes. Out of my dorm room, they would kick cans of beer and alcohol, and I was there, but yet I would pray and I would seek God, and I strayed a little bit and I got into the culture down there and I got away, but it didn't take long. Paul Jackson came to Greenville and preached a revival and I got straightened out real quick. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, somebody. I tell you what, I got on fire for God at East Carolina University, and I turned that old backsliding, lukewarm spirit around and said, hey, I may not be at home Bible college. Seems like God's always put me in places I don't particularly want to be. I would rather have been at home, but I'm at East Carolina. I'm just going to tell you, buddy, I would load them up, take them to the Greenville Church of God, and I would talk to them. They would cry and weep, and I'd tell them about Jesus, and I was on fire for God. I'd go down to Falcon Camp meeting. I'd shout and run the aisles, and then I had my first church, pastored my first church right here when this was Living Waters, and man, some of you Living Waters people, when I was 20, I didn't have a lick of wisdom. But you got to admit, Sister Mary Jane and Brother Riley, I was on fire for the Lord. Amen. The church filled up. And I can try to tell, I've had many tears and sorrows, questions about tomorrow. But if I know my heart, I promise you, and I've been hurt many times, but I'm trying to tell you, with God being my witness, I'm as on fire for God today as I was the day that I got saved. And I intend never to be lukewarm, half in. I'm all in. I said I'm all in. Somebody shout amen. Are you all in this morning? And then finally, Brother Clark, you better come because I'm all in and I might not get out of this thing. But just come and make believe that I'm quitting and I'll let you know when to start, okay? Point number whatever, number five. We need to be all in because of the wickedness of the world. Say amen. Because of the lostness of souls, say amen. Because of the lateness of the hour, say amen. The lukewarmness of the church, say oh me. Just kidding. Next slide. We need to be all in because of the greatness of God. This is our time. Get the oil of the Spirit. The bridegroom is showing up this morning. He's got a plan and a purpose. Go to the next slide. Cry out and shout. Don't sit there and pout. No, cry out and shout. Thou inhabitant of Zion. Zion is the church. For what great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of you. Brother, God is working at Westmoreland Church. I wouldn't backslide. I wouldn't go somewhere else. I'd plug right in and say, I'm all in, preacher. I'm with you. Praise God. God is great in this house. And there's some souls that need to be saved and some bodies that need to be healed. I talked about the sinners, but let me tell you, I love those sinners. I love those people who have alternate lifestyles. I want them to know that there is a God who will love them and not leave them like they are, but make them who they are supposed to be. And we are the church. We can reach the Muslims. We can reach the kids. If their parents won't go to church, let's bring them to VBS. Let's get them to Royal Rangers, because I was a kid whose parents didn't go to church, but my mother's sick this morning, but my sister's here and my mother comes because I brought her. You know why? Because I was all in, and there's a great, big, wonderful God who's working. Woohoo! Listen, if you don't hold out on God, God won't hold out on you. Brother Kyle, come on up here. Are you all in, brother? I don't think he'll be embarrassed for me to share this, but he went through a season of drug addiction. That's in his past. One of the first services I was here, we met with Beth in the pastor's office, me and Pastor Jerry. First, like, I'd been here a week. I didn't even know Beth's name. I learned her name that night because she was crying about you. She sat in that office and she wept tears. Please pray for my husband. And as I was looking at Beth, I thought, we're going to pray, but what she's telling me is tough. But whoa, lo and behold. Woo! A great big God. So, he's all in. You all in, brother?
All in.
Woo! Glory. I felt that. Glory to God. Hold on. We got more. We got more. You ready to go? He's all in, but he's ready to go, right? I hear you, brother. Listen, tell me, do you mind sharing what you told us this morning?
No, sir.
You don't want to do it?
Oh, I don't mind.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't mind.
All right. Just tell me.
Friday when we got paid, we were putting our, getting our bills and stuff straight and got our tithes put to the side. And sometimes, being young and...
Notice that, tithes put to the side.
Young and... We're not newly married, but we've not been married real long, but you struggle sometimes. So we were wondering, God, just please provide for us this coming up week. And yesterday I went to the mailbox and I saw it looked like a bill in there and I closed the lid back. I was like, Lord Jesus, another bill. So I left it there and Beth got it out and she came down to where I was and she was like, look at this. And it was a State Farm bill. Well, it wasn't a bill. It was a State Farm envelope that said, We have a record of where we tried to pay you $100 in 2011 that you never cashed. So here is your $100. It's been 6 years.
Glory.
God is good.
That man's speaking a strange language. It's called speaking in tongues. That's what we're talking about. Praise God, somebody. We serve a great big, would you stand this morning? We serve a great, big, powerful God. You put your tithes, let me tell you something. If you get all in, you won't ever regret getting all in. We serve the God that parted the Red Sea. We serve the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that did not burn. We serve the God of Daniel in the lion's den. We serve the God of David who took just a slingshot and one stone and brought down Goliath. We serve the God where Peter walked on the water. We serve the God that fed 5,000 with just a few loaves of fish. We serve the God of Easter's morning after Friday's death. There was Easter's morning of resurrection. There is nothing impossible for God. He wants to work in your life. He wants to bless you coming in and going out. And my goodness, the bridegroom is coming. Go you out to meet him. I just want to know, will you be all in? Because I tell you, when you're all in for God, he'll be all in for you. And there's no devil in hell that can stop Westmoreland Church. There is no demon that can stop you. It's midnight, and let's go forth, and let's lift our hands. Come on, lift your hands tonight, and this morning, and let's praise him, and let's go all in with God. Then sings my soul. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. Sing it with me. How great thou art. I want to know if anybody's all in this morning. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art. Sing it again. Then sings my soul. Oh, I'm all in. I'm all in. Not looking back. Not going back. Thou even greater things to come. Great thou art. Oh, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art. I want to know this morning, are you all in today? Come on. I think we can all say that we need to go a little deeper, climb a little higher, be a little more focused. Folks, it's important, and we need you. Westmoreland Church is in a season of transition, and this man's prayed for 20 years, laid a foundation. Has he been perfect? Absolutely not. Nope. Have you been perfect? Well, none of us are perfect. But I'll tell you this, we serve a perfect God. Amen. And the best is yet to come. We just got to be all in. He's preparing a place for us. He's coming. Amen, somebody. Praise God. I want you to take somebody by the hand right now. And I want you to pray for each other this morning. And Pastor, you feel led, you go right ahead. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for one another this morning. We're all in, God. We're making a fresh commitment as members to be faithful, fruitful, and forgiving. We're going to be faithful in our attendance, faithful in our giving. Lord, not because of the preacher, but because we're all in. Lord, give parents the understanding to be in church. It's important every Sunday. Not miss a Sunday here and miss a Sunday there, but to be all in. Oh God, may we not be lukewarm, but hot and on fire. Lord, souls are lost. Would you do me a favor now? There may be somebody here this morning, and you're not saved. Could we just have everybody bow your heads and close your eyes? Because remember, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Now you may say, well, Brother Ricky, I believe in God. I'm a Christian. But are you all in? Unless you're all in, you're probably completely out. So this morning, today is your opportunity to say yes to Jesus fully. Pray this prayer, everybody, if you want to be saved. And I want everybody to pray the prayer. I know you may be already saved, but there may be one or two this morning that needs to be re-saved, recommitted. Some of you need to be recommitted, refired, refilled. Pray this prayer with me, everybody together. Dear Lord Jesus, I need to be all in. Forgive me for being half in. Of all sins, forgive me. I come to you needing a Savior. I thank you that I'm saved by faith, not by feeling or emotion, but by the Word of God. I receive you, Jesus, as my Lord and Savior. I'm going all in for you. Thank you for saving me. I give you praise. Now lift your hand up to God and praise Him. I said praise Him this morning.
Amen. I want those that join the church today to begin to make your way to the welcome center so everyone on the way out, they can welcome you into our fellowship. If you would, let those people, those that joined this morning, start making your way to the welcome center there. Sing it.
Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. Thou art. Then sings my soul.